The Saturn 1B flew one or two manned space flights in the 60s. Actually, it also flew people to the Skylab space station in the 70s, but this whole slide's about 60s. And of course, Saturn V. And of course, I believe that the picture of the thing in the lower right defines the definition of a manned rocket launch system that put humans in space during the 60s. And it's the upper stage of the LEM. Well, let's talk about the next 49 years. I just got through having a slide for what amounted to really 9 years. Let's look at the next 49 years and let's look at the new rocket launch systems that put humans out of the atmosphere. Of course, the space shuttle, the Chinese Shenzhou, and a home built by a few dozen people in Mojave. Isn't it weird that the world did 9 in the 60s and only 3 in the last 49 years? I'm not proud of that. I'm embarrassed by it. How many of you here in the audience were born before 1935? Come on. Wait a minute. Born before 1935? Okay, I want somebody out there to lie to me and stand up and say, I was born before 1935. Here, you do it. Ma'am? Real loud. You were born before 1935. You were born before 1935. You're very special because no one born after 1935 has walked on the moon. According to this chart, which was prepared 10 or 15 years ago, we're right on the schedule. There's only 4 people alive now that have walked on the moon. Just 4. And it won't be very long when the Earth will have no one that's walked on the moon. And doesn't that really piss you off? I'm going to talk about some segments of time that are decades. And the decades start in 1961 when Yuri Gagarin was launched to orbit by the Russians. So we're talking about 61 until 1971. Okay, Alan Shepard, a little redstone that wasn't as big around as Spaceship One, by the way. Suborbital spaceflight. In less than 10 years, Alan Shepard took a 6-iron and hit golf balls on the moon. What the hell have we done in 10 years? To me, that seems impossible now, and yet we lived through it. 10 years. Let's look at the next 10 years. 71 to 81. First flight of the space shuttle was 1981. You see somebody floating in a space station so large you can get lost in the middle? And if you run around the periphery with centrifugal force, you can run. You've probably seen that video in Skylab. We don't have anything like that now. International Space Station is an ugly, square, junky science lab with wires going all over the place. It is. How many people have been there? Oh, really, there's a bunch of people who have been there. That 10-year time period, 71 to 81, the world launched planetary missions to explore our solar system at the rate of 4.6 per year over that 10 years. Now, a lot of these missions failed and didn't get to their destinations, but the world tried to explore our solar system 4.6 times a year for 10 years. Well, I'm not going to show you the next decade because there wasn't much going on. I'm going to show you the next more than 3 decades, We're talking about, what is this, 34 years or something? Almost four decades, right? Okay, the space shuttle, the International Space Station, and Soyuz, they go only where Gagarin and Glenn went 57 years ago. It's the only place they go.
What?
We had a big Saturn V, and the first time we flew it, we went to the moon. And in more than three decades, nobody went farther than Yuri Gagarin and John Glenn. Who was thinking up there and planning the space exploration? Who was it? Are they in jail? The first year after 1961, after Yuri Gagarin's flight, that next year, there were five manned space flights. In 2004, how many manned space flights were there? There were five. And a bunch of home builders in Mojave had to do three of them. And we went downhill big time in planetary courageousness to explore the planet. I'm not saying we went downhill in technology. We certainly had better technology. But in this whole big time period, multi-decades, there were only two attempts per year to explore the solar system with robots. God, we should do it thousands now. I'm holding my hand in this picture, a little piece of Spaceship One. And at the request of Alan Stern, the principal investigator in New Horizons, which launched a non-JPL-developed deep space probe, he wanted a non-NASA-developed manned spaceship, a little piece of that. He wanted it to go to Pluto. Isn't that cool? It took 9 years to get there. And then a billion miles further, it went by Pluto in 2015, a billion miles further on New Year's Day this year, it went by Ultima Thule, which is a Kuiper Belt object. And that's really cool to think that a piece of Spaceship One is still out there flying through the Kuiper Belt. Okay, now for the big question that I promise you. I'm going to explain right here why NASA could not do Apollo today. It has nothing to do with money. No. You give them all the money, all the money you want to, it wouldn't happen. How many here have read the book Angle of Attack by Harrison Storms? The book about, a few of you. Okay, there's two books you really ought to read if you're interested in this. One is Chariots for Apollo, which is written about the develop of the lunar lander. And the other one was Angle of Attack, written about Harrison Storms, who was the developer of the Apollo capsule. I'm going to read the first paragraph out of one of the chapters. It says, years later, almost everybody involved would say they should have taken a few months off right in the beginning to sit down and decide what exactly it was they were going to build. But the people who say that have forgotten the desperate mood of the country in the opening months of 1962. If NASA and North American had taken a calm, scientific approach to the moon race, Congress and the American people would have eaten them alive. What? If they did this normal, proper, calm, scientific approach, The American people and the Congress would have eaten them alive? Did that statement come from a different solar system? That statement right there to me makes clear why we can't do this now. There is no way we can think like that, at least by government, to go back to the moon.